Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Soap Dish Salem Style. I am your host, Tony Ann, and with me this week I've got Ariette. Hey, Ariette, how you doing?
I'm doing good, just tired, but
Yeah, and unfortunately, this week's days did not pick us up at all. This was a very midweek, which means this is going to be a very rapid recap because it was all varying shades of terrible.
Thank God it's going to be short, y'all, because I cannot do it.
Except maybe for our first headline. Our first headline was probably the strongest story of the week, which is Nicole talks to Holly about the night she OD'd. She claims not to remember, but she does. But she does say that Tate did not give her the drugs. Teresa, meanwhile, hires Sloan as Tate's new lawyer. So obviously, either Holly was lying when she told Nicole she didn't remember, or she didn't when she said it, and then she started to after and is just trying to avoid talking about it.
I got the impression that she knew and she was lying.
I need her, and I'm sure it's going to happen next week once Tate sneaks out to see her. But I need her to realize, like, somebody needs to tell her that Tate is in prison or has been arrested for giving her the drugs, because I do not think that she would let Tate sit in jail for something that she did.
I don't think so either. And I think based on the promo we're seeing for next week, actually, I don't remember everything, but I remember like him climbing out of her window and like them kissing, I think. I don't think she knew at all that he was in prison, and someone definitely needs to tell her. But I mean, Teresa, I gotta give her credit. She was trying and she was like, I don't have time for you, old lady, or whatever.
Oh no, that was Tate. That was Tate as
Oh
ter
yeah, that was
on
yeah, that was
Teresa's
Tate as
phone.
Teresa. Yeah, true, true, true. Oh my God, I forgot. See y'all, that's what happens when the
Because
show has been terrible and you kind of like just yeah. I remember he texted through Teresa's phone. He took her. Oh my God, I cannot speak today. He took her phone, texted her through DM. And Holly saw it and she was like, okay, old lady, I don't have time for you. She never checked it and went upstairs. I remember. Sorry, but I remember. And yes, he tried. Tate tried. Not Teresa, but Tate.
My favorite though was like, I don't know her number. I don't know anybody's number. Because that is relatable as fuck.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a phone, so he had to he's desperate. I get it. But y'all, when it comes to, I guess I'm going back to the promo, but the ship itself, I think, is moving too fast. It's gonna quickly go to Tripp and Wendy territory for me, and I still get the ick a bit, considering they kind of grew up as family. But back to the story at hand. What else happened? I do not like that Nicole does things based on what EJ says,
Yeah,
or
that felt very strange. Or like, even if I would be okay with it if she was taking a harder line with Holly. If she was like, I can tell that you're keeping something. I know you know what happened. Tell me the truth. I would not have an issue with her keeping Brady at arm's length if she was trying at least to get the truth out of Holly herself,
yeah.
because she can tell that her daughter is hiding something.
It didn't
But
even seem like she was concerned about Tate. Like,
that was the weird thing. Like, as much as I try to forget that that happened, you were almost this child's stepmother because y'all were raising him, you were raising him with Brady as a happy little Canadian family.
yeah.
Listen, I try to delete that out of existence, but you know.
It happened. So it doesn't make sense for Nicole to be the way she is right now. I like, yes, if she was suspicious of, oh my God, I cannot speak today. If she herself was suspicious, that's another thing, but it's like, It doesn't even seem like it's coming directly from her. It feels like it's coming from EJ. And then she's like taking those feelings and adding them to herself and kind of being like, yeah, I don't trust Tate. Or I think he did it. I think he gave
At
her
the
those
very
words.
least, even if Holly is not being upfront with what actually did happen, she very, very clearly said,
He did not do it.
Tate did not give me the drugs.
Yeah. I don't know. I was not feeling the cold this week. And especially with the conversation with Brady. And y'all know I have struggled with Brady, but lately I don't like
But
I
Brady
was
is just trying to protect
yes.
his kid.
And I was like, what? She was so cold. I was not feeling it, y'all. I remember seeing in the group chat, I was like, do you remember what I said, Tony?
It's been such a crazy week, but I remember you saying you didn't like it and that this is not Nicole or like she. It felt, I remember you saying it felt very weird.
Yeah, it did, because it just did not sound like Nicole. And granted, we have strike writers who are writing these characters, and I don't think they are getting a grasp of who they are.
We'll
This was
mention
not
this.
it.
We'll mention this again, with Lonnie in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But I would just like to point out the importance of Ryan Kwan. Ryan, from what we have heard in various interviews from Ron over the years, Ryan is basically the walking encyclopedic knowledge of days. And you can always tell his influences because the characters always, even when they're doing weird shit, it still feels like them. Now the characters are just doing weird shit and it doesn't even feel like them. Like the voice of the characters is gone because Ryan is currently on, in what's airing on strike with the rest of the writers. I think we should only have about a month or so left of strike material based on when the stuff this week was filmed. Because the strike ended in October and this stuff was filmed in September. So we should only have a few more weeks left of strike material. So hopefully our characters will start feeling like our characters again because a lot of things are feeling very strange. And Nicole was the first thing that felt very, very odd because I also don't think Nicole as a mom would be this passive. Like, I get that she's just worried and she wants Holly to be okay, especially coming off of losing her son. I understand that. But there's still a sense of I've been around the block more than once. I can tell when my kid is lying to me. I know she's hiding something. Like, she needs to be the one telling EJ, like, look, I know what this looks like, but I've known Tate almost as, I have known Tate for as long as I've known Holly. And there is no way that he gave her those drugs. And I know my daughter is hiding something from me.
Yeah. Just do not make any sense at all. And had something else on my mind, but I think you covered basically everything.
I will say the one thing I really liked this the best part of Holly's stuff for me this week was her and Eric.
Yeah, that was good.
Because Eric clocked immediately that she was hiding something. She
Yeah.
did that one little hair twirl and he clocked it immediately. And that's the kind of thing I need to see Nicole doing.
I agree.
Only thing that's missing for me is Eric hasn't seen Brady in God knows how long.
It's
So
so
it's like,
weird.
it's so bizarre. So, like, if Eric was at least trying to get to the truth to save his nephew because he can tell that Holly is lying, that would also be something that kind of saves this a bit. Like, if Eric was trying to get through to Nicole to be like, I get where you're coming from. I get you just want to protect her and you want her to be okay. But it's very clear that she's hiding something and my nephew is paying the price for it. So we need to get to the truth. Like, there are ways they could do it where it wouldn't feel as weird.
Yeah.
Because right now it just feels weird without any motivation.
It's very weird that they're keeping them apart when they're in the same story.
It's so strange.
And now, like, Sloane has been dragged into it, so they have... You get what I'm saying? They're more into the same story? Like, Sloane is Tate's lawyer. Eric is married to Sloane. Eric is, like, Brady's brother. Tate's uncle. Like...
There are so many family connections.
Yes.
There are so many family connections that are not being played. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty solid story.
It's not perfect by any means.
Yeah, it's not perfect. It has many flaws, but it's not terrible. So I can enjoy it for what it is. I don't have much else to add, actually.
No, we pretty much covered everything on this story. So now we can move into Lonnie, Chanel, and Abe rally around Paulina as her health continues to decline. We got our Marlene and Lonnie scene for like 30 seconds. Oh, God, that was the best part of Monday.
Yeah, that was so good. Oh, I completely forgot because this week has been a week of suck. On the show, so like,
and
but
off.
Yes, that Marlena and Lonnie scene made my entire day on Monday. It was short. I needed to be longer. I need their families to interact. Like, I need a full on like Marlena and John seeing the twins and having dinner with like Ilani and Abe and Paulina, like everyone. But I just want them to see the twins. And it was like, that was super cute. I am not feeling this cancer story at all.
Can we even call it a cancer story? Because it is now segued into heart failure.
I mean, heart cancer, the ABC the sickness, whatever you called it.
I think I called it the medical ailment alphabet soup.
Yes, that. love them, but... Paulina, or love her, but Paulina, I just this.
The one thing I will say is James Reynolds has another Emmy reel.
Yeah, I agree. He always shows up, does his thing, and he always makes you feel the material he's trying to sell. I don't know, it sounds so weird, but yeah, you get what I'm saying. Yes, James Reynolds.
He clocked into work that day.
Exactly.
But he's coming for those Emmys. Mm-hmm. And it looks like spoilers are indicating that Abe is going to remember. So it's looking like the heavenly glow that was basking on both of them at the end of Friday, which is looking like it's going to be Lexi, is not only going to heal Paulina of her heart ailments, so she's not even going to need a transplant. It's also going to cure Abe of his amnesia, which is not the way I would have gone about this. But hey, if he remembers, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Same. The thing is, I'm just like...
Lonnie's dialogue did not make a lick of sense.
At all. From what she said... I mean, basically both.
The only thing that made sense in the entire thing that she said was when she said that my Auntie P, or I think she might have said Aunt Paulina, but when she said Auntie P was like the biggest person in the room, or like that part made sense. That felt
to me like they were trying. I love Paulina, I do, but I don't feel like her. I feel like they rushed Lonnie's connection to Paulina as a mother, because 30 years she's been her aunt, and I don't think you can fix that within a few years. Yes, you can forgive, but I think Lonnie as a character should not have forgotten and gotten over it so easy. Granted, she's off the show, so they're doing whatever they can do, because you can basically you cannot have conflict in this show right now. I feel like it would be so much better if Lonnie was still struggling, and
this should be the thing that makes her want to improve her relationship with Paulina.
Yes, she should have still, before she went into prison, she should have still been on the fence. I told people at the time, it makes complete sense for Lonnie to hold a grudge, to be mad. And she said in this episode, I was awful to her. Ma'am, yes, you were harsh, but you had your boundaries and you were heartbroken. You had just found out that your mom is not your biological mom, and your aunt is your biological mom, and like Abe is not your biological dad. Like, your whole world turned upside down. She was bound to be upset, and like, I kind of wish they stayed with it and like had this should have continued for years, because it could have added so many layers to Lonnie and dragged out so many stories and pulled in new characters, whatnot. They can still maybe kind of do a whole breakdown type of story if they ever want to have Sal, or if Sal ever wants to be on long term. And actually, we need a competent writer for this, but Lonnie as a character is bound for a breakdown, because she has been through so much. So this dialogue that aired on Friday's episode pissed me off, but annoyed the fuck out of me, because it should not be.
It didn't make any sense. It honestly.
Yes, we've seen that men their relationship. But it shows,
it's like these writers think she was closer to Paulina and thought Paulina was her mother the entire like, even though she was very close to Tamara, but the way these writers perceived it was like Paulina, even though Paulina was her aunt, she was always closer to Paulina than she was to the woman she thought was her mother. But that's not the history we were given.
Yeah, and it's like,
if that was the history we were given, then it would have made more sense, but it wasn't.
It's like they're saying fuck Tamara. And I'm like, huh? And it's trying to oversell, because she's dying. And I'm like, but that's not who Paulina has been in their lives. Lonnie has talked about how Paulina went in and out of her life. How she would be this larger than life person or aunt. And then she would disappear. She would make promises. Stuff like that. Remember the Paris thing?
Yeah.
And now she can have those memories of Auntie P or Aunt Paulina before she knew she was her mother. It makes sense. But it's the way they're trying to too much in it, erasing Tamara's place in her life, that bothers me a bit.
Yeah, I really don't like it at all.
Me neither, but I do like Lonnie and Chanel's bond.
Yeah, that was great, and I loved seeing them in scenes together, but I almost wish that Chanel had the bulk of the dialogue in that scene.
Yeah.
Like, if Chanel had been the one talking about all the memories that she had with her mother, and then Lonnie sitting there like, I don't have these memories, and I wish I did. I wish things, you know, I wish things could have been different. And I wish I could have, you know, I wish I could have more time to make things right with her.
I think they wanted Lonnie to have that, the bulk of the dialogue, because she's the older sister. And kind of like her life has her life together. I don't know what they were thinking, but
it feels like these, whoever wrote these scenes, did not know the actual history And Sal did the best she could with inputting the actual history that she has. You know what? I noticed that
honestly, I love my girl, but I noticed that she kind of was not completely able to connect. And I was not able to connect, so I get it. It wasn't bad. Like that.
I think she was disconnected because nothing she was saying made any sense. She didn't know how to, she couldn't make it make sense, or she couldn't ground herself in
and
it.
Yeah, that's how I got it too. Like, she was good. Like, it wasn't bad. It just felt like the whole scene.
It felt off. So off. She felt off because the material didn't make any sense, but she's an actress, so she's going to do the best thing she can do and try to make it make sense. But
the dialogue felt off for me, and I don't feel like Sal could connect to what Lonnie was saying because none of it made sense, but it wasn't bad. Because she was good.
She tried. She did the very best she could, but she knew everything she was saying was a bald-faced lie because she lived the opposite.
But I will say, though, one thing that just, like, made me go, aw, is when she said the most pure and unconditional love is between a mother and her child. And I know she was thinking of her babies.
Yeah.
And, like, I posted just, like, 6 hours ago, I posted a tweet of her and her babies, because I know, like, how much Lonnie loves them. And I just, like, a little shout out there, like, her saying that and wearing the push gift Eli gave her almost four years ago.
That was that heart necklace that she was wearing, right? That's what I thought.
Yep. She has never taken it off. Unless it's been, like, before she went to jail, she had to take it off because you cannot wear jewelry, obviously. And when she came back, she did not have, last year, that is, she did not have it on because she was still in jail and only on furlough. Or was that correctly pronounced?
Yes, that was correctly pronounced. Thank you.
But yeah, so those were the only two times she took it off. Otherwise, she's been wearing it nonstop for 4 years. So I wanted to give just a little shout out to that, because that dialogue just right there and her wearing that necklace, it just, I don't know, my Ilani heart, my Carver Jewels Ilani heart is full.
Okay, let me ask you a question before we segue into our last segment. Do you think that this return was, like, this was a waste of a return for them?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm always here for Ilani content, but bitch, we only saw Eli for an episode. Okay, it may not have been. I know.
We're gonna get a second one, but that's gonna be the episode where they leave. It sounds like
you're telling me, even if it was, like, Eli without a beard, we only got him for one episode before they leave for, like, that is dumbass shit. Sorry, but, like, that is dumb.
Because I assumed the episode, because there was a spoiler, I think, if not for next week, the week after, where Eli and Lonnie contemplate taking a job. It feels like
they're going to take the job in D.C. and
they're going to take the job in D.C. and leave, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a waste of a return in a way that they're only stuck at a hospital. And this storyline, like, we're not going to get a Doug and Julie, at least Eli scene. We're not getting it.
I am so bitter.
And I feel like it's super stupid to not have at least one scene or a mention or anything. So yeah, kind of.
Listen, I am not delving into the Everett shit. I put that in other news this week because I am just so tired of talking about it. But the one thing I will say is the Everett Julie scenes should have been Eli and Julie.
That part, like, yes, I love seeing Lonnie. I always welcome a return. I'm not gonna be like, hey, I don't want it, it was terrible. Yeah, it was not the best way to have brought them back, but I was happy to have them back. But yeah, it was not their best return. Their return last year is
leaps and bounds better,
much better. They were used better, and yes, they They didn't have strike writers back then, but it still was better. This was not it. Some moments here and there that I really, really, really loved. The moments with Abe and Lonnie, they had a few nice scenes in the like cafeteria part of the hospital where she asked him if she could hug him. Last week, that is, or it was last week. Yeah.
Yeah, it was last week.
And then Lonnie and Marlena scene. We have not gotten a proper Lonnie scene yet. It's weird though. They returned for Paulina, but Paulina keeps sending them out.
Yeah, whole thing is strange. Like, I feel like they,
like Paulina's like, I need alone time. I need alone time. But ma'am, your daughter just came out of prison.
I also think too, if she actually wants, she. With Marlena, I didn't really side-eye it so much because she's not going to admit she's scared in front of her kids.
That's understandable. Like, I get that, but like, otherwise, like, every time Lonnie has come into the room, she's been like, I want to talk to Abe.
But that, I think, too, was about her will, or was the will thing with Lonnie? Did Abe help her with that?
You mean typing in the draft?
Lonnie. Yeah. Oh, that was Lonnie. Okay.
Yeah, it's. I'm frustrated because they could have used them better. Could have used them in the story. Could have used them with Doug and Julie. Could have used them having, like, showing the kids with them.
And listen, even if Bill and Susan were not available to film when Sal and Lamone were there, all you have to do is have Eli say a couple lines of dialogue of, I went to the house, I can't believe it's gone.
Or like have Lonnie show up at the house and be like, I cannot believe this is where we used to hang our decorations at Christmas.
Or even show him reading Leo's article and learning about the history that he never knew because he came into the Horton family late. Yeah,
exactly. Like, Doug and Julie could have been like upstairs in the attic or something while Lonnie and Eli were.
Listen, I would have accepted an Eli, Lonnie, and Stephanie scene if it meant Chad, if it meant Doug and Julie were upstairs.
Anything. Like, you could have traded Stephanie and Everett to Eli and Lonnie. It's the way they've been used in this return. And the dialogue for some scenes here and there that has been frustrating.
It's making me grateful that they didn't come back for Christmas. Like, I'm grateful that return was squashed.
I wonder if I remember this Christmas. Was it bad?
Well, no, it wasn't bad in the sense that, like, we got those great flashbacks and we got that last moment with Doug and Julie. But, like, we had Stephanie and Everett and Chad. Yeah. And the kids and Sarah, like, Sarah got the baby, got the ornament. So, like, it wasn't a bad Christmas, but like, if this is how Eli and Lonnie are going to be written,
remember I initially loved the strike writers material, so I think that first week would have been strong. It was strong for me, and then it's been downhill ever since. So that's frustrating. Yeah. It's gotten so bad.
I put this out on Twitter earlier this week. It feels like the strike writers are divided into teams, and certain writers are handling certain stories, but none of the teams are talking to each other, so everything feels disconnected as hell.
Sounds like every day at days with breakdown writers. No, what was it that we like, some, who was it that we used to say, like, the one team has, you said it before.
Yeah,
is it breakdown? No.
Yeah, it's breakdown.
Script,
it's
like writers, script
writers. Yeah,
because one thing, one team has this idea, and it's, I feel like it's worse when they have no idea who the characters are. So we kind of end up with a mess overall. And speaking of messes, I feel like we've talked out.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's transition to the last mess of a story. Ava, John, and Steve bust Clyde out of jail as Tripp and Wendy's time runs out. Y'all, this shit was fucking terrible, and it took up 90% of the goddamn week.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I will tell you something. I used to enjoy it. Like, last week, I think I even said last week, I enjoyed the story. Y'all, I am on board on, I do not enjoy the story. Ship. I love my girl, Tamara. I always, like, I stay tuned in when she's on screen. Ava, I need her to be a badass villain again instead of this supposed heroine.
She should have shot Clyde's balls off. I'm not even gonna.
But I will
please
say,
castrate that man, please. Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, I enjoyed when she double-crossed them. I wish she actually just went pew-pew on Clyde, because I will help her bury the body while Tony, he'll probably dismember his body, so.
Yes, I am 100% okay with putting razor blades on the power chair wheels and just backing up and going over him again and again and again.
Listen, that sounds like a plan.
Until I cut him to smithereens.
I need that bitch to die since, like, yesterday. I am tired. My mind is tired. Love James Reed, but we're exhausted.
I can't do it.
Here.
I can't do it. Listen, I was exhausted a decade ago when this shit started.
I feel
we
you.
We have had 10 years on and off.
Bitch does not die.
Of Clyde Weston. And we didn't even get the satisfaction of him dying. He gets to run off into the sunset with the cop. Which, ew.
Yeah, that was nasty. I was not shocked in a way because it's Clyde.
Oh no, it's 100% Clyde. Clyde will sleep with anyone and anything if it means he gets his freedom.
Nasty and disgusting.
I 100% believe that once he gets out of Salem and he gets where he's going, he's going to drop this chick like a hot potato, assuming she doesn't die. Like, I don't know that he's going to leave her living. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if he's dumb enough to kill a cop, even a dirty one. But, oh, God. This was just all varying shades of terrible. Like, when we saw the set pictures of Steven Nichols and Drake Hogeson in hazmat suits, I did not have Prison Breakout on my radar as the reason why.
You probably look forward to it.
I did. I was like, "Ooh, what's this? I'm curious."
Lower your expectations.
They're already in hell. How much lower can I go?
I don't know. Lower than hell? No, but like, we didn't even know the plan. They were just going to break him out.
And then it seems
what happened,
like,
to the people in prison? Like, they just...
Like, it was all very, very poorly planned.
Mm-hmm. Poorly written. The only thing that was good was Ava double-crossing them. That's it. That's all. Also, I will say... It's got to be wild if you're rooting for two characters to die, because that was me with Tripp and Wendy.
I will say, the beginning part of the week where they were having fantasy dates in order to get through being held captive drove me fucking batshit. We did not need to have an entire episode devoted to that. That was just
a waste of time. I thought you were
going to
say you enjoyed it, and that would be...
No.
I would have reached through the Zoom to slap you.
That part I did not like. However, the part where they were doing the love confessions and the wedding vows, that part got me. The emotions of that got me, which I think is 90% because of the music cue involved. Not even gonna lie.
You're such a soft. You're weak, Tony.
Listen, I know I'm a weak bitch. I understand this. I accept that fact. However, the almost wedding vows were decent.
What do you call it? What is it this called? Spiritual wedding? No.
Yeah.
We talked about it a while ago. Remember in the group chat?
It's like an emotional wedding.
Emotional wedding. Yeah.
Like, no, that's fine. I'm completely fine being on the island of unpopular opinion there. But, like, the almost wedding vows didn't bother me. The entire, like, fantasizing about Paris and then going to Italy, like, that shit was weird. That was a waste of space. I don't even understand what that was. But the wedding vow stuff, I understand that because, you know what? That's classic soap. Think about it. Yeah. How many times are two people who are either in love, be it in a good place or not, stuck together in captivity, nearly dying and confessing their love to each other?
Well, they're either confessing their love or fucking. So
exactly. I was kind of hoping for the latter with Tripp and Wendy, not gonna lie. I would have much preferred that than the fantasy dates.
Yeah. Cause why are we like sitting, just have sex? Like, you're gonna die anyway.
They were having sex all over the place anyway. Why not when that's all you have time for?
Right. Well, I mean, it would have been uncomfortable, I guess. Because, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it would have been a good distraction. I will say the one part of the wedding vows that got me was when Tripp said something like, he said something along the lines of, like, all of the false starts he's had with other relationships put me on the path to meeting you. And I was like, okay, that got me. Because I like that they acknowledged that Tripp was the loser. And like,
starts heard trendy edits because of that line.
Oh, God, no. I don't love them that much. But I will say that got me. The wedding vows got me, and I'm sure I'm probably the only one.
The number one trendy shipper is Tony. I'm
sorry. No, my number one ship is Clyde and Death. Oh,
same. But yeah, there's a trendy shipper right there. Anyone else feeling them? I'm not sure anyone does, but does anyone enjoy Tripp and Wendy? I actually want to know.
Yeah, please let us know in the comments, because I'm very curious. And if you did like them and you don't anymore, what changed for you? And if you didn't like them and you do now, what changed for you there as well? Please, by all means, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I want to know.
All right, shall we venture into another news?
Let's go.
Stefan confesses to EJ, stupid. Sarah brings Vicky to see Xander. Everett begins therapy with Marlena. Stephanie gets advice from Julie about Everett. Kate and Roman visit Lucas, and Leo babysits Jude.
I guess.
Can I start this off?
Yeah, go ahead.
Leo babysitting Jude started out cute and ended up fucking terrible. Like, I felt so bad for Greg Rickard in those scenes. He must have gotten the script and been like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, it was a bit cringe.
A bit?
I love me some, like, comedy, a comical Leo.
He lost me at the alphabet rap.
Actually, I was laughing, but yeah, it's just like, okay, is no, but like, I liked Leo in that episode. I didn't mind him, but I need them to give him something to do.
Yeah, Leo needs more to do. This story needs to move.
Yeah. Oh, this story is fucking slow.
I know we were warned that a lot of shit was going to stall because of the strike.
Yeah, this is like gonna stall until May.
Like a bunch of people warned us that the strike material was just going to be various stories in a holding pattern until the strike resolved. But oh my God, everything is just, it's like slogging through molasses. I'm sorry, I know I cut you off, but I had to say that Leo thing because it was just
No, I get it.
bugging the
My pick would probably be Kate and Roman with Lucas. Lucas is such a whiny baby. I love Lucas, but shut up.
No, I totally get what. Yeah, he was definitely whining. I was like, okay, really? But I will say, this is going to sound so strange, but the Kate Lucas bickering dynamic,
Makes sense. Yes, that makes sense.
one makes complete sense, but two, out of all, because of all of the weirdness that has aired in the last couple of weeks, that's the thing that felt like, ah, this is my show. This is familiar. This is
However,
home.
I don't feel like Roman should be like, yes, like be so buddy buddy with Lucas.
Yeah, it's a little weird given what Lucas is in prison for, and given the fact that Roman has been a judgmental prick when it comes to people hurting his children in years past. Like, if ever there was a time to be a judgmental prick, it would be now.
Yeah, but then again, he's together with the woman who put her his daughter like in
On death row, yeah.
yeah, in clear way to death row. So, but again, he should not be this friendly with Lucas. That kind of took
No.
me out of it, but I enjoyed their scenes. They were so fun. And even if Lucas would whine, was whining like a baby, he's like 50 plus. Like, dude, sometimes you need to shut it. But also, this makes sense for you because you've always been whining. Even if I love you and your dynamic with Kate, it was just a tad too like whiny. But he's an adult baby. That's kind of always who he's been.
It's always been who he's been, even when he came into town in the 90s, because
Yeah.
he was a peak, but like when Billy and Austin entered the chat and he found out that he was no longer his mother's only child, oh, the tantrum he threw.
Yeah, I can see that. And he was a teen back then, but still, like, he's an adult now, but I guess it is what it is.
And
Still enjoy him.
you also had Kate indulging him for how many years? So
Yeah,
like,
makes sense. Makes complete sense. But yeah, that was my another news pick.
I just want to cover one more thing and then we can move into our segments. Stefan confessing to EJ was dumb.
Stefan this week was just stupid, but also like that reference to Stefano, like, sir, you never met him. Shut
Like, please. Okay, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save that for my shade. Hold that thought.
up. What's should we move into shade?
Let's move into praise or shade. Are you praising or shading?
I'm praising that small short scene with Marlena and Lonnie got me in the feels. I want
Was
more
so good.
scenes. I love when she would like hug those little babies for me, and when she greeted Lonnie, or when Lonnie actually greeted her when Marlena came in. Yeah, super short but sweet. I want more whenever we get Ilani again. Please don't hold out on us slash me slash the Ilani family, because I don't know. But me and us in here, we love them. I want to see more Ilani, Marlena, John scenes, because I love them all. So, and maybe with the twins as well. But yeah, back to that scene again. It's super cute. Loved it. Please make it longer next time.
Agreed. And for my shade, I am shading the fuck out of Stefan for the way he mentioned Stefano, because you clearly did not know the man, so please keep his name out of your mouth.
That
The
part.
man would not be willing to help you. The man would literally call you a stupid idiot And then make you get down on your knees and beg for his forgiveness and kiss his ring.
You idiot.
You stupid idiot. Because he has called that to every single one of his children except Lexi.
That is his baby. I'm convinced.
Yep. Lexi was the only one he didn't yell at. Mm-mm. He called Kristen a stupid idiot more than once. He called Peter a stupid idiot more than once. He called EJ a stupid idiot multiple times while also making him get on his knees and beg for his help. Because he had the evidence, I think, to clear Sammy of the Bernardi shooting and literally made EJ get down on his knees and kiss the ring before he would even help. So you clearly do not know the man you are named after. So please kindly consult Google or shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Because I can't. It irritates the hell out of me whenever he brings up Stefano anyway, because you never met him. You don't know him. Mm-hmm. That man is a sperm donor to you and nothing else. EJ has more history with Stefano than you do. And even the times that he mentioned Stefano isn't even correct.
Yep.
It's like y'all are trying to retcon Stefano into being this loving familial patriarch. And that has never been who he was.
He was a terrorist in Salem.
Literally. Like a literal
terrorist. Yes, he was terrorizing them nonstop, traumatizing them. Like, he was even traumatizing his own family members. He didn't even want Kristen to raise, what was it, EJ, right?
EJ, yep.
Like, he was not kind to his kids if they were not Lexi. And even then, they had problems. And even then, he was manipulative and doing things behind her back and being awful.
He was awful to every single one of his kids. He may have loved his kids. I don't doubt that he loved his kids, but he showed his kids love in very twisted ways.
Exactly. Yeah, that was such a weird line. But
this entire episode, this entire week was weird. This was just a weird week, y'all. Hopefully next week will be better, because at least it sounds like all the terrible shit is at least transitioning into either being over or slightly less terrible, hopefully.
Please.
So, like, things are hopefully moving in the right direction, because this week was absolutely not it.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Do you have any other final thoughts?
Oh, I think we covered everything this week. I just need a better and more entertaining show. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, please do not suck as much as this week. I am over it.
Please. All right. And we will let Ariette have the last word, and we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.